All it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for.
Michael Hand takes us back 50 years to one night in the autumn of 1971, when the Glenn Hughes band Trapeze was playing at Mother's in Birmingham, when suddenly John Bonham, whom we know as Led Zeppelin's drummer, came barreling through the doors, pushing through the crowd until he reached the stage. He climbed up and without ceremony started playing along with the group. After the show, instead of saying his goodbyes, he suggested to Hughes, whom he'd known for several years on the Birmingham club band scene, that they go back to Bonham's house and continue the party there. It's about 3 or 4 in the morning, Hughes recalls by phone from the U.S. West Coast, and he says, "I want to play you something. It hasn't been released yet. It's an acetate of the 4th Led Zeppelin album. It hasn't been mastered yet," Bonham said. He plays me the entire record, and it comes to Stairway to Heaven. And of course, I'm only 19 years old, and I'm thinking, bloody heck, this is earth-shattering. In the intervening 43 years, Hughes' reaction has been shared by generation after generation of teenagers. Kids who learn how to play Jimmy Page's acoustic guitar intro, who pore over Robert Plant's lyrics. It's been voted on to scores of lists of the greatest songs of all time. It was claimed on its 20th anniversary in 1991 that it had been played 2,874,000 times on the radio, amounting to 44 years' worth of airtime. It's been suggested that if you play it backwards, you'll hear satanic messages, including, "Here's to my sweet Satan," though the Dark Lord clearly didn't anticipate downloads ruining his ploy to brainwash credulous youth. It's also become mocked for being a monument of pretension, described by rock critic Lester Bangs as a thicket of misbegotten mush. In other words, if you were looking for the ur-song of classic rock, for something combining incredible popularity, a huge selection of myths, and a faint sense of preposterousness, then your search can begin and end with Stairway to Heaven. Jimmy Page had decided he wanted an epic song for the 4th album, more than 18 months before its eventual release in November 1971. He said, "I don't want to tell you about it in case it doesn't come off," speaking to New Musical Express in April 1970. "It's an idea for a really long track on the next album. We want to try something new with the organ and acoustic guitar building up and building to the electric theme." Page said, "It would keep unfolding, and more layers would be introduced into the equation. Keeping John Bonham on drums to come in for effect was a trick I'd used before on things like Ramble On. I knew that would be successful, because whenever he came in, he made so much difference. And then it's 2 more verses before you get to the solo with this sort of fanfare approach to it. Then everything's flying at that point. There's almost an hysterical trill at the end of the solo that leads into the finale, and as we wind on down the road."
She can get what she came for.
A report from Michael Hann from his story in The Guardian in 2014. No matter the musical genre, don't we enjoy those behind-the-scenes stories, especially if we have an affinity with the subject at hand? Surely the story of the creation of Stairway to Heaven has been told many times in many places, but there are stories that have remained untold about Led Zeppelin until now. Director Bernard McMahon has produced a documentary titled Becoming Led Zeppelin, released by Sony Pictures this past February. In fact, you can see it tonight at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock. It's one of 23 different movies being screened during Springfest through May 15th. Ronnie Harvey is general theater manager and film booker at the Dietrich, and he stopped in at the WVIA Benko studio to give us some of the highlights of the festival and to take note of some of the thematic clusters, as we might describe them. Music, for instance.
I actually had an idea in the beginning, and then somebody brought up another one, and now I'm seeing three kind of through lines throughout this festival. One being unlikely friendships and relationships and connections. Two being music as a forefront of the film. And then three, current events, issues that you're dealing with that are real life impactful. So that's kind of where I look at this at a broad range. Unlikely friendships, unlikely companionships. I see a film like The Friend. The Friend follows Naomi Watts, who has a friendship with Bill Murray. He's another character, and he passes unexpectedly. And he leaves her with his Great Dane. He wants to make sure that his Great Dane is taken care of. And she has absolutely no idea how to take care of a dog, let alone a big dog like that. And what follows is this story about how she comes to accept the passing of her dear friend, but also gains a new relationship, almost like her friend is still with her. So it's this beautifully poetic, lovely story about an unlikely friendship. In that same vein, you've got Bob Trevino Likes It, one of our opening films that deals with finding someone online who you end up forming this bond with. This young woman doesn't have a great relationship with her father, and she goes online. There's a man by the same name as her father. She clicks on him, and he is also looking for some kind of connection in life. And it's based off of a true story of two people in an unlikely experience coming together and giving each other what they need, giving each other that connection that they're craving. We have Flo, which won the Best Animated Film in the Academy Award this year. And it is a silent film, animated, and it follows a cat, a lemur, a bird, and a capybara, and a dog, who are all on this epic journey together. None of them would be friends in real life, but they're all on this epic journey together, and it deals with the environment and the unlikely friendship between them and how they can form this bond together and save each other, essentially. The Penguin Lessons is another film. A teacher moves to Argentina to teach a group of children during a time of political conflict, and nothing is going right, but then he meets and finds a penguin. And this penguin becomes the class's classmate, essentially. And it bonds them all in a way, in an unlikely way. There's so many films in here that deal with that unlikely friendship connection kind of way. And that's really interesting to me.
I always ask, and you're not a sociologist, so I wouldn't put you on the spot, but it's interesting to see what creative artists are considering at any given time. It's fascinating to see that a number of different artists who aren't connected happen to be treating themes in their films.
Yes, and a lot of them, notice the three of the four that I mentioned are dealing with animals as well. How animals have the, how we have this deep connection to animals and the world at large and what that means. It's so interesting how that transpires.
And you mentioned that the Penguin movie is set in a country in political turmoil, let's turn to the current event themes that you mentioned.
Yes, and I missed a movie, but it's good that you brought that into that, because that's a theme that both of them share. No Other Land shares the unlikely connection because it won the best documentary film at the Academy Awards this year. And it is about like the unlikely pairing between a Palestinian man and an Israeli man and the connection that they've made during the conflict. And so that's dealing with political, and it's dealing with an unlikely relationship. And then we have Porcelain War, which is also dealing with the Ukrainian conflict and how people have decided to stay there, document what is happening, and create tiny porcelain figures to kind of bring a sense of, I don't want to say joy, but to bring a sense of normalcy to a time that is so abnormal. Something that really sticks out is that it proves, the movie proves that it's easy to make people afraid, but it's hard to destroy their passion. And then October 8th is another film that deals with a different side of the conflicts that are currently going on. And it deals with anti-Semitism and what happened on American soil during the college protests and how media can manipulate and turn people, and how it is only causing a greater divide. And we've got to come to a place. A lot of these movies are trying to come to a place of understanding each side, each belief, each person, and to remember that there are people that are involved. Rule Breakers is about a group of girls who are in STEM. They're trying to join a robotics competition, and there are a group of women in Afghanistan that are trying to join a robotics competition. So these are rule breakers. These are girls that are going against the grain. Speaking of going against the grain, we have Secret Mall Apartment, which I find very interesting. And Secret Mall Apartment is about a group of 8 Rhode Islanders who, for 4 years, lived inside a secret apartment in the Providence Mall. They created an apartment, and it became this kind of act against gentrification, this act against the man. And it became an art project. It became this like movement within, and I just find it so interesting. Secret Mall Apartment, I want to see what it was like.
But again, you're circling about these topical things, and again, resistance in so many ways, and films helping us to understand that we're dealing with people no matter what it is.
At the bottom line is people.
And then there was the other theme that you mentioned. Was it your theme, or was it somebody who suggested the third theme to you?
Yeah, the third theme was the suggestion. Wait, I see a lot of music in here. And music does play a part in multiple films. Becoming Led Zeppelin, which is about the meteoric rise of Led Zeppelin. You get behind-the-scenes interviews and behind-the-scenes looks at concert footage and all the stuff you did not see of how they became Led Zeppelin. Then you have Midas Man, which is a look behind the scenes at the Beatles and the man behind the Beatles, Brian Epstein, and what he was personally going through and how he was able to overcome the obstacles at the time to create this enormous success that we now know as the Beatles. And then the third film that falls into this category is The Ballad of Wallace Island. Now, The Ballad of Wallace Island is about an eccentric lottery winner. He loves this one band, and he won all this money. And this band that he likes broke up. It was a couple that was together. And they, of course, had, think Fleetwood Mac, if you will. And they kind of parted ways, and his goal is to get them back together. So he is able to bring these two onto his island that he has purchased or owns or lives, and to put on a concert for him. Unbeknownst to them, they think the concert is going to be a concert, and it's just for him. And it's the story of how that conflict re-arises between the two of them, and how he, in his own quirky way, is trying to bring them back together.
You also regularly, when they are offered, take us to art museums.
Absolutely. So this year we have dawn of Impressionism, Paris, 1874. It's a very specific time. And this is an exhibit that went on, and it is about the Impressionist movement. And you're actually getting some firsthand of what happened. It's about how the Impressionists were laughed at the time, and about how they put on their own exhibition in 1874, and now is heralded as this beginning of this movement. And you get to hear from curators, historians, and the people who were there at the time, at the dawn of Impressionism.
As I read through the brochure with the thumbnail descriptions of all the films you'll be showing, Ronnie, I saw the word visionary three different times. I'm not suggesting that that's another theme, but there are films that were described using that word.
Absolutely. And to speak on Audrey's Children, Audrey's Children is the story of Audrey Evans, who came up with the staging system for cancer. She was the visionary behind what essentially has changed modern medicine and how we do that. And then she also had the idea for the Ronald McDonald House, being able to assist people at a time of need. And the story is about her bucking up against the system of the people that would not listen. That goes into Rule Breakers, the women that are there who are going, listen, we want to be a part of this, and they're bucking up against the system. And then I kind of look at that and I go to Julie Keeps Quiet. It's a film about a young girl. She's a soccer player, and her soccer coach gets removed for unknown reasons. But everyone has their ideas of what is the reason why he's been removed. And Julie, she's the star player on the team, and she at the time is being quiet. She's choosing not to say anything. And everyone is they're doing the exact opposite of what we're talking about with Rule Breakers and Audrey Children, like being like the vision. She doesn't want it to impact what she's going through, and everyone's kind of forcing, what happened? What did you do? And it starts to affect her physically and emotionally. So I'm not going to go into where it goes, where it takes you, but this is the story of a woman that's choosing her own destiny, choosing what she wants to reveal, wants to say, what's comfortable for her. So I kind of look at that and I see a little bit of a through line.
And I'm sure that must be one of the satisfactions for you as a programmer.
Absolutely. For people to come to me and say, hey, I noticed this, and it's something that I didn't even notice. And I go, well, you're welcome. I know. but no, it's fantastic to see how a lot of these films impact people, both emotionally, spiritually, and how it changes the conversation sometimes. And so I look forward to seeing what this festival's conversation will be.
And then you give us a chance, you invite us, after all is said and done, to come together to have those conversations, right?
Yes. So the Friday after the film festival is over, I host a just kind of open-ended discussion. People are welcome to come. If you've seen one, if you've seen five, if you've seen 20, people are welcome to come and just discuss what they saw, just kind of like an open dialogue. And I learn a lot from those people. They tell me I teach them, but I go, no, you teach me.
Ronnie Harvey, General Theater Manager and Film Booker at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, speaking with us about Springfest, running now through May 15th, 23 films screened in 21 days. If you need more information, check the website, dietrichtheater.com, D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H, theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, dietrichtheater.com. The Dietrich Theater is located at 60 East Tioga Street in Tunkhannock, and the films continue. As we mentioned, Becoming Led Zeppelin will screen this evening at 7. When she gets Springfest 2025 at the Dietrich Theater, 60 East Tioga Street in Tunkhannock. 23 films in 21 days. For more information, on the website, DietrichTheater.com, DietrichTheater.com. But she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes